right after the triumphal entry that we always celebrate at Easter. It seems, however, a little out of context and everything, because it's moving immediately to Jesus' teaching. But don't you recall in other books we see that right after the triumphal entry, Jesus continued his teaching, and Jesus cleansed the temple. And so as Jesus spent his last days in Jerusalem, it was a very, very busy time. And Jesus had been criticized by the Pharisees because he would not tell because he had spent so much time after raising Lazarus from the dead. This is a scenario that's all set up by God. It is ordained by God. It is predestined by God. Before Jesus came in to Jerusalem on the triumphal entry on the back of the donkey, what happened immediately before that? He had raised Lazarus from the dead. And don't you recall in the Bible it talks about Lazarus being raised from the dead, and then all the friends of Lazarus and Mary and Martha and Jesus all gathered together for a great celebration, and Lazarus is there and people are coming from everywhere because this miracle had taken place when the whole area of the tomb was filled with mourners. And the word went out. And this is only, 8 miles, 10 miles from Jerusalem. And so the word went out, and all the people went out and went to where? To see Lazarus, to witness, and to see this Jesus Christ who had raised him from the dead. And so it was this crowd that came with him and followed him in on the triumphal entry and laid their cloaks down and waved their palm branches as Jesus came in. And this drew greater anger, greater fear from the Pharisees. They said, this is getting completely out of hand. And here we are. Now in verse 20 of chapter 12. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. Now, we're told they're Greek, so we know that they are Gentiles. But we know they came to worship at the Jewish feast. So they are believing Gentiles. They believe in the one true God. And so they worship in the Jewish faith, and they came as the Jews did. So when we talk about them being Greeks, it gives you a little context about who these people were. Now there were some Greeks who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee. Naturally, they would go to Philip. Philip is a very Greek name, and Bethsaida is a very Greek town in Galilee. They came with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Keep that phrase in your mind. We would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Now, don't you recall when Jesus called the disciples, Philip and Andrew both came from Bethsaida, the Greek town in Galilee. And Andrew, of course, is also a Greek name. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. It doesn't really tell us whether Jesus spoke to these Greek men who came to talk to him or not. We presume that he did. Jesus usually spoke to people who came to see him. But his reply was, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. The hour has come. Don't you remember when Jesus' mother, Mary, took him and some of his disciples to the wedding feast at the beginning of Jesus' ministry? She came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, they've run out of wine. They're going to be terribly embarrassed that they've run out of wine here and people are still here for the feast." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern of that is mine? My hour has not come." And what he was saying to her was, I have to be very careful doing miracles. I don't want this to get ahead. I don't want to get ahead of God. My hour has not come. And on many occasions throughout the New Testament, even two more in John, we are Jesus is approached about his miracles, and Jesus tells people to go away and don't tell anybody that I've healed you, because my hour has not come. Jesus did not want, he was not ready for the triumphal entry. He was not ready to bring all of the anger down upon him of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin. He was not ready for them to crucify him on the cross. He had teaching to do. He had disciples to gather. He had things that he needed to say to them. And he did this for 3 years. Often we wonder why Jesus waited till he was 30 years old to begin his preaching, teaching, and healing ministry. After all, we know that he was the Son of God from birth, fully man and fully God from birth. We know that he was in the temple when he was 12 teaching when his parents couldn't find him. They found him teaching in the temple. So we know that he was able. The answer is because his hour had not come. He was not getting out ahead of God. He was following God's will. And yet here we are in this story today, and he says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it. The man who hates this world, his life in this world, will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd was there and heard it, and said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. And this is the word of our Lord. This scripture is so packed with information that you and I need. We need to understand, we need to embrace. Jesus said his heart is troubled. Because remember, Jesus is fully God, but he's fully human. And his heart was troubled. His humanness did not want to suffer. It wasn't just the torture and humiliation. It wasn't just being beat and having to carry the cross. And it wasn't just even being nailed to the cross and hung up to die. That wasn't the big part of what Jesus was looking forward to. What Jesus was looking forward to was being found guilty of sin. Found guilty. Being tried by the God of heaven and found guilty by God in my place. In your place. Found guilty of our sin. That was the agony. That was the fear. That was the terrible, terrible thing. The other criminals, the east side of Jesus, and when they were crucified, were beaten and tortured and nailed to the cross and put up to die in agony, in physical pain, shame, and agony. But only Jesus was convicted, though he never sinned, of all the sin in the world, of all the sin for those who confess their sins and believe, all was placed upon him. That is the agony. That is the hour that had come. That is what he was prepared for. That is what his ministry was. Because that, according to the one who created this world, the heavens, you, me, everything that is, that is what had to be in order for us to be forgiven our sins, in order for us to be able to have eternal life. That is the hour that had come. And he said, now my heart is troubled. Father, save me from this hour. He said, shall I say that? Save me? All he had to do was say the word. He's God. But he said, no. It is for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then something very strange happens. God, once again, speaks from heaven. Some of the people said it was thunder, and others said it was the voice of angels. Because none of us can bear the idea of being face to face or actually hearing God's voice, they said it was angels. Jesus said, the voice was for your benefit, not mine. And what he meant was, that those who God had given ears to hear and eyes to see heard what God said. Those whose minds were closed, whose eyes could not see, those who would not receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior heard it as thunder. Jesus Christ said, now is the time for judgment on this world. The prince of this world will be driven out. The prince of this world is Satan. Jesus was not of this world. The prince of this world was Satan. He would be driven out. But I am, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. That is, all who have been called by the Spirit, all who have answered the call. Jesus taught these to the people, to the masses of people. But he said that only those who have ears to hear and eyes to see will receive it. Scripture tells us that the world hears these words and considers it foolishness. But those who to whom the word has been given understand it is the gospel. It is the good news. It is our only hope. Jesus said, "My hour has come." All throughout his life up to this point on earth, Jesus has been staying in the will of God, not getting out ahead, and not failing to respond. How can you and I know when our hour is come? When that time that God has ordained us for, God has created us for, God has prepared us for all our lives. Jesus waited 30 years to begin his ministry. Elsewhere in the Bible, some were much, much older than that, many times 30, when they were called, when they were drawn in. God has prepared work for each and every one of us to do. God has prepared roles in this Christian life for each and every one of us. There are none of us too young. There are none of us too old. Many times in our life, the hour may come when Christ calls you into action. And the question is, will we have ears to hear? Will we be in the Word of God? Will we be dwelling our thoughts upon the Holy Spirit's call? These words about how a seed must die obviously were referring to Jesus, who must die and be buried and be dead and then be risen from the dead in 3 days. But they also, as Paul said, we as Christians must be crucified with Christ. We must die to our old lives and live our lives anew in Christ. Because Christ said that unless a seed dies, it cannot produce fruit. We can't live with one foot in the old life and one foot in the new life and think that we're going to be living for Christ. We have to move completely into a life for Jesus Christ. We have to surrender our old life, the things that where we set the priorities, where I decide what the best thing to do, where I plot out my future, where I figure out what the next move is, and surrender it to Jesus Christ, asking for the Holy Spirit in prayer and in meditation and in dwelling in the Scripture to tell me what the next step is. Jesus didn't get out ahead of God. He waited until his time had come. But when God called him to begin his ministry, Jesus went on the move, and he was on the move constantly from that time forward. When God calls you into his work, when God calls you to walk, to go over and talk to somebody and to confess your sins and to tell somebody what a difference Jesus Christ has made in your life, you have to be ready. That is your hour. That is what you were brought here to do. When you have a chance to make a difference in somebody else's life, that is what you're brought here to do. And you can't pass it up. You can't say, well, it's not a good time for me. Jesus Christ didn't do that. He didn't say, well, God, let's put this off for 3 more years. I don't think this last 3 was successful enough. Let me see if I can bring more disciples on. No, he said, my hour has come. What do you think most of our reaction would be if we rode in, not in a donkey today, but we rode into town in a big car, a convertible with the top down, with our feet on the back seat, sitting on the back of the car, and people were laying their coats down and praising us and singing and shouting and saying hallelujah? Would you say, it's time for me to die? Not many of us would. But that's what Jesus did, because his hour had come. He didn't come in to glorify himself. He said, I came in to glorify God. And God said, and you have done it. And the people who had ears heard. Spend time in the Word of God. Spend time on your knees. Spend time in prayer. Spend time with Jesus Christ. He's been there, done that, and He can guide you through this life. And He will tell you when your hour is come, and it's time to move, and it's time to do something in His name. Amen.